found himself holding one of the culprit's bare feet. The man facing him, Mr. Sears, of Spokane International's management, held the prisoner almost uselessly by the armpit and was the only one of them, besides the incomprehensible Chinaman, to talk during the hardest part of their labors. "Boys, I'm damned if we ever see the top of this heap." "Then we're hauling him all the way?" was the question Granier wished to ask, but he thought it better to save his breath for the struggle. Sears laughed once, his face pale with fatigue and horror. They all went down in the dust and got righted, went down again, the Chinaman speaking in tongues and terrifying the four of them to the point that whatever they may have had in mind at the outset, he was a deader now. Nothing would do but to toss him off the trestle. They came abreast of the others, a gang of a dozen men pausing in the sun to lean on their tools and wipe at sweat and watch this thing. Granier held on convulsively to the Chinaman's horny foot, wondering at himself, and the man with the other foot let loose and sat down gasping in the dirt and got himself kicked in the eye before Granier took charge of the free-flailing limb. "It was just for fun, for fun," the man sitting in the dirt said, and to his confederate there he said, "Come on, Gel Toomas, let's give it up." "I can't let loose," this Mr. Toomas said. "I'm the one's got him by the neck," and laughed with a gust of confusion passing across his features. "Well, I've got him," Granier said, catching both the little demon's feet tighter in his embrace. "I've got the bastard, and I'm your man." The party of executioners got to the midst of the last completed span 60 feet above the rapids and made every effort to toss the Chinaman over. But he bested them by clinging to their arms and legs, weeping his gibberish, until suddenly he let go and grabbed the beam beneath him with one hand. He kicked free of his captors easily, as they were trying to shed themselves of him anyway, and went over the side, dangling over the gorge, and making hand over hand out over the river on the skeleton form of the next span. Mr. Toomas's companion rushed over now, balancing on a beam, kicking at the fellow's fingers. The Chinaman dropped from beam to beam like a circus artist, downward along the crosshatch structure. A couple of the work gang cheered his escape, while others, though not quite certain why he was being chased, shouted that the villain ought to be stopped. Mr. Sears removed from the holster on his belt a large old four-shot black powder revolver and took his four to no effect. By then, the Chinaman had vanished. Hiking to his home after this incident, Granier detoured 2 miles to the store at the railroad village of Meadow Creek to get a bottle of Hood's sarsaparilla for his wife Gladys and their infant daughter Kate. It was hot going up the hill through the woods toward the cabin, and before getting the last mile, he stopped and bathed in the river, the Moye, at a deep place upstream from the village. It was Saturday night, and in preparation for the evening, a number of the railroad gang from Meadow Creek were gathered at the hole, bathing with their clothes on and sitting themselves out on the rocks to dry before the last of the daylight left the canyon. The men left their shoes and boots aside and waded in slowly up to their shoulders, whooping and splashing. Many of the men already sipped whiskey from flasks as they sat shivering after their ablutions. Here and there, an arm and hand clutching a shabby hat jutted from the surface while somebody got his head wet. Granier recognized nobody and stayed off by himself and kept a close eye on his boots and his bottle of sarsaparilla. Walking home in the falling dark, Granier almost met the Chinaman everywhere. Chinaman in the road, Chinaman in the woods, Chinaman walking softly, dangling his hands on arms like ropes, Chinaman dancing up out of the creek like a spider. He gave the hoods to Gladys. She sat up in bed by the stove, nursing the baby at her breast, down with a case of the salt rheum. She could easily have braved it and done her washing and cut up potatoes and trout for supper, but it was their custom to let her lie up with a bottle or two of the sweet-tasting Hood's tonic when her head ached and her nose stopped and get a holiday from such chores. Granier's baby daughter, too, looked roomy. Her eyes